This is a reading by the UU minister Richard S. Gilbert. It's titled The World Wide Web of the Spirit. In the sacred stillness of this place, we pause to center ourselves. It has been a hard week for some, full of distractions, disappointments, and dilemmas. We have found ourselves fragmented, torn asunder by the responsibilities of living in a community. We have experienced what it is to be isolated from our neighbors, lonely islands in an often turbulent sea of humanity. We have spoken words we now regret. We have thoughts of which we are ashamed, done deeds for which we are sorry. We come from a common origin. Its exact nature we know not. We share a destiny in the future of which we are not certain. The joy of one becomes our joy. The grief of another becomes our grief. The suffering of one becomes the suffering of all. Here we sit on the quivering edge of existence, so delicate, so fragile, its pattern lovely and inviting. May we rejoice in the beauty of which we are a transient part. May we celebrate the unity we feel with all people. May we celebrate here and now this worldwide web of the Spirit.
Interdependence as a statement of faith. That's a topic that I set for myself to explore this morning. In the morning last night, I was still struggling with it. I'm struggling with it now. Between 2013 and 2016, the Canadian Unitarian Council undertook an intensive process that led to the creation of a new mission statement. The process took place under the guidance of our very own Glenda Butt, who was president of the CUC for much of that time. The heart of the new mission statement reads, "As Canadian Unitarian Universalists, we envision a world in which our interdependence calls us to love and justice." My sermon next Sunday, on Sharing Our Faith Sunday, will explore that CUC mission statement in more detail. I raise it here as we begin a month where our theme for services is interdependence. I do so to emphasize how central the concept of interdependence is to our religious tradition. The CUC mission statement implies that our very call to love and justice is secondary to the recognition of our profound interdependence. It's our interdependence that calls us to love and justice, and not the other way around. So I decided on the topic for this sermon as a result of a conversation I had while I was away in retreat with a group of 350 ministers just a little over a week ago. One evening, a group of UU ministers from Canada were sitting around for the evening discussing the apocalypse, or more specifically, the end of the world. I hope that surprises you, because Unitarian ministers don't spend a lot of time on that topic normally. But actually, I was playing devil's advocate, and I had sparked that discussion to clarify some thoughts in my own mind. I related my concern that some of my colleagues were doing their congregations a disservice by painting a picture of a world that, at this moment in history, is on the edge of destruction. I've heard colleagues talk about how bleak the outlook for humanity is, given the environmental destruction and global warming, and the concentration of wealth, and the rise in terrorism. Playing devil's advocate, I suggested that this worldview was coming of the coming collapse of the ecological systems of the earth and human civilization that depends on them was an artifact of Christian theology. Our culture, dominated as it is by Western European worldviews, is at its core biblically based. Western culture for 2,000 years has been based on the Bible. Today, an individual may have essentially zero knowledge of the books of the Bible, but the language, the themes, the metaphors, the myths of the Bible are inseparable from our culture, whether we realize it or not. Without knowing the biblical sources that underpin our Western worldview, we're unlikely to question the unspoken assumptions that guide our culture. One glaring example of this is the idea of the end times, that we are living in a time when the world is about to come to an end, the apocalypse, the great reckoning, a revelation of the errors of our ways. This is a Christian idea. Although such a vision is found in other religions, I recall the recent end of the world predictions attributed to the Mayans of Central America. But it is our Judeo-Christian and Muslim vision of linear time that requires an end time, a time of reckoning. Other religious traditions, Buddhism in particular, look at life as a continuing cycle. So what we are achieving with the help of well-intentioned environmentalists is what philosopher Tom Wyman has called the successful secularization of the end times. Seems to be a common human trait that we want to avoid dealing with the messiness of reality. We want simple answers and absolute revelation. Absolute revelation is the true definition of apocalypse. Even if that absolute revelation is the destruction of the world, somehow that gives us some comfort that we understand this messiness that we're in and it's all going to come to an end. I'm afraid not. I'm afraid it's going to go on for a much longer time. So I tried with limited success to explain to my beloved colleagues that I was not a climate change denier. I did not, however, think that climate change will bring about the end of the world. It'll bring about many bad things, many sad things, many things that hurt me. The extinction of the polar bears, and likely along with thousands of other species. The gradual flooding over many decades of low-lying land, almost certainly. But not the end of the world. At this point, one of my colleagues blurted out, "You cannot call yourself a Unitarian Universalist if you do not believe in the interdependent web of all existence." And ever since that moment, I've been thinking about what that means, to consider interdependence as an article of faith. So let me step back now and try and get a handle on what I mean by faith. I have a quote here from the scholar of comparative religions, Wilfred Cantwell Smith. I want you to listen to this quote while considering our first principle, the inherent worth and dignity of every person. For me, that is a statement of faith. I don't question that. I don't try to put nuances on it. I just believe in the inherent worth and dignity of every person. Wilfred Cantwell Smith wrote, "Faith is a quality of the person. It's an orientation of the personality to oneself and to one's neighbor, to the universe, a total response, a way of seeing whatever one sees and handling whatever one handles, a capacity to live at more than a mundane level, to see, to feel, to act in terms of a transcendent dimension." He went on to write, "Faith then is a quality of human living. At its best, it has taken the form of serenity and courage and loyalty and service and quiet confidence and joy." Our faith gives us quiet confidence and joy. And it enables one to feel at home in the universe and to find meaning in the world and in one's own life. A meaning that is profound, a meaning that is ultimate, and is stable no matter what may happen to oneself at the level of an immediate event. Men and women of this kind of faith face catastrophe and confusion, affluence and sorrow unperturbed, face opportunity with conviction and drive, and face others with cheerful charity. See, this definition works for me for the first principle. I've internalized that principle. It's a matter of faith. Your faith, then, gives you the very ground you stand on. So what does it mean to have faith in interdependence? A faith that we Canadian UUs have uniquely defined for ourselves in the CUC's mission statement. I'll preface my remarks by saying, as I did at the beginning, that I am struggling with this issue, and I'm not entirely satisfied with my own answers. The examined faith is always a challenge. For me, a faith in interdependence is an orientation to the self that manifests as a recognition that every insult to the inherent worth and dignity of another person is an insult to me. That the destruction of the natural animal and plant habitat diminishes me. Diminishes, yes. Threatens with extinction, no. We live in a messy, messy world of trade-offs. Our politicians are charged with the near impossible task of balancing these trade-offs. Some would argue that the role of a minister is not to deal with the practical, but to deal rather with the ideal, with our highest aspirations, regardless of the political, social, or economic consequences. That, in my opinion, is taking the easy way out. We are interdependent, and our interdependence calls on us for more than simple dogmatic answers. The ancient prophets of the Hebrew tradition, whom I admire, had the luxury of criticizing the rulers of their day based on the faith that they had received from the Word of God. At least, that was their profound belief. But I doubt that any of them could have managed the realities of the royal court or the interstate aggressions and wars that their rulers were struggling with. So that takes me to a concluding observation. Perhaps one that might spark some arguments. The political, social, and economic reality of our time is playing out every day in our media. Many of you no doubt watched our Prime Minister defending the decision to proceed with the Kinder Morgan pipeline expansion in British Columbia. Despite what some would say, stopping the construction of pipelines is not a matter of UU faith. You can have faith in the interdependence of all existence and be in favor of this project or others like it. Of course, you can also be motivated by a faith in the independence of all existence to oppose all pipelines. But that's a matter of personal faith. So you can choose, as you will, your own faith and how you implement that faith. But just don't accuse me of Unitarian Universalist heresy if I disagree with you. Thank you, and amen.